You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We kick things off with the results that came out today from the companies that we're going to be taking a look at. We are reflecting on the Prosus results. They gave us a half-year update on how they've been performing for the first 6 months of their new financial year, ended 30 September 2024. I'm joined on the line by the interim CFO for the Naspers Group, which would then cover Prosus as well. That would be Nico Moret, to take a look at these numbers and see if we can make sense of them. Good evening, Nico. Thanks so much for taking the time. Strong start to the first half of the year. Obviously, there's been a lot of moving parts into this year and sort of wrapping up the end of last year. How do you reflect on it as a management team?
No, we're very pleased with a very strong set of results, Jimmy. I think that, you know, the acceleration that we've seen in our top line growth for our e-commerce businesses, the 26%, that was important. But I think even more important is the fact that we could improve our profitability across the portfolio by almost fivefold compared to what we delivered in the whole of our previous financial year. And so strong growth, growing ahead of our peers, and that's leading to a very strong increase in profitability and importantly, also cash flow. So I think we continue to focus on driving the business forward to create more value for our shareholders.
Nico, when you look at the performance of the business, obviously the achievement of these results is as a result of some key strategic decisions you've made as a management team. And I want to look at some of those decisions. I want to start with the disposals. I mean, disposing of the Trip.com business, the Superbalist business, and now recently the Taz business. Take me through just the rationale from a business perspective when you're looking at lightening the assets that you've got in the portfolio. Is it a focus on more core assets? Is it a focus on different types of sectors? What's the thinking here?
Yes, I think we've got a significant portfolio of assets, and I think it's healthy that you rotate that over time. So you correctly point out that we did make some disposals in the period, about 2 billion. Largest were the Trip.com stake that we've sold, but also a little bit of the Swiggy as part of the very successful listing that the Swiggy food delivery business had in India. And I think that is, you can expect a bit more of that portfolio rotation. And as we then try and allocate that into newer opportunities, I think we will continue to invest more than what we would actually sort of sell. And the key focus there is really to invest into our broader ecosystem where we see most of the opportunities within marketplaces and fintech, which I think complements each other quite well. Yeah, so from a geographic perspective, you know, we have significant investments already in China, which is doing very well. The US market is sort of more highly priced for us at the moment, but in between, whether it's in Latin America, Eastern Europe, or in a big market, an exciting market like India, you know, that's where our focus will be to deploy additional capital within our e-commerce ecosystem.
Nico, I want to look at the balance sheet for a moment. The business obviously benefiting from stronger increase in net interest income, the overall finance cost decreasing as well. Take me through some of those adjustments and just that alongside something like the share recapitalization program. The accounting side of the business has really opened up the business to have more cash flow on hand, have more flexibility, and be a little more nimble, as if you weren't nimble enough before that.
Indeed, I think from a cash generation perspective, our free cash flow in the first 6 months of this financial year increased to about $900 million. And that was really driven by, on the one hand, the strong performance of our e-commerce businesses and also the bigger contribution from dividends paid from our Tencent investment. And that really underpins, you know, for us a strong balance sheet where we have about $17 billion of cash available. Against that, we do have some debt of just more than $15 billion. But, you know, overall, you know, that leaves us with the ability to employ $10 billion plus, into new opportunities, in the longer run. You ask about sort of the changes in the interest environment. We've done really well when we raised a lot of the debt a number of years ago. And we essentially are fortunate that we only pay on average about 3% on that debt. And we actually earn about between 4.5% and 5% on the cash that we have. So quite a positive interest carry that whilst we have the cash is actually assisting us. But I think the true focus for us is to drive the free cash flow generation in our e-commerce businesses and then to deploy the cash that we have wisely into new investments into the ecosystem as I outlined before.
Mm. Nico, when we look at the Tencent business, you mentioned that a little earlier, and obviously the business has been for the longest time trying to continue to unlock value from there, selling off a little bit of the stake here and there, but trying to do it strategically so that you're able to return value to shareholders. And that coupled with the share buyback or share repurchase program that you guys have been on as well. Can you give us a sense of how much value has been unlocked in the last sort of 6 months or in the 6 months starting this new year?
Yeah, so since we started the program, you know, about 2.5 years ago, we've seen about $36 billion of value creation for our shareholders. We've got now one of the largest share buyback programs of for any tech company in the world. Over that period, we've bought back about 25% of the issued shares at sort of a process level. And because we're doing that essentially at a discount to our underlying NAV, it's meant that we've boosted that NAV by about 10% over that period. So it's very value accretive for our shareholders, and it's our plan to continue with that open-ended share buyback program whilst our discount remains elevated.
Nico, before I let you go, I want to take a look at what opportunities look like going forward. You touched on this a little earlier, saying there's some regions like India that you're looking at. There's some benefits to having about $10 billion US dollars to deploy. What would pique your interest at this time? I mean, obviously being such a heavy tech business and with the advancements we're seeing around the world, opportunities I imagine are aplenty, but you also want to get the right opportunities.
Indeed. The focus there are on two. I think the larger opportunity and the larger capital deployments that we'll pursue will be within our existing ecosystem. And I think there will focus will be on marketplaces, potentially fintech initiatives as that, and just building out the areas that we already invested in. Secondly, I think it's important that we invest into sort of newer next wave opportunities. There we will explore and learn. So it's smaller check sizes that we will employ against that. I think AI remains a key element, a very exciting element for us, and we've made, you know, about more than 10 smaller investments in the last 12 to 18 months, and that will remain our focus going forward. So I think lots of opportunities. We're quite excited about the a healthy pipeline that we see, and hopefully we can tell the market and our shareholders more as we move forward.
Mm. Speaking of telling shareholders more, Nico, the discontinued operations, the OLX business, any updates on that? I saw the SENS announcement had some updates on the loss from that operation. Anything you care to share there?
Yeah, I think that we strategically decided to exit our OLX autos business about 18 months ago. And that process is essentially all completed. That will not have any material impact on our results or performance going forward. Our OLX business now is focused on our online classifieds business and mostly around motors and the real estate verticals. We focused on Eastern Europe as well as South Africa, as you would know, Property 24 and Auto Trader being sort of the main businesses that we have in South Africa.
Well, wish you the best of luck, Nico, to you and the team. We definitely will look to catch up as the year progresses, especially if you are looking to buy some interesting things. We look forward to seeing what those interesting businesses look like. We'll leave the conversation there for now. That's Nico Mare, who is the interim CFO at Naspers and Prosus, joining us to take a look at the latest set of interim numbers from Prosus that were released today.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.